be pleased to help for a few moments. We would turn to the second chapter in the first epistle, General of Peter, in the third part of verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. In the seventh verse of the second chapter, the first epistle general of Peter, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. These words have been with one throughout the week. We venture to make a few remarks from them on the past Sabbath. Friends, we have to prove that even in these things we are not our own. As the Lord may lay a word upon us, as sometimes felt it to be, like that cloud, that fiery, cloudy pillar, which went before his ancient people. As that cloud stayed, they stayed, they couldn't move. As that cloud moved, so they moved. Sometimes those tarryings were a short one. Sometimes they were for a more lengthy season. And so, as the Lord lays upon us, any one of us, a portion of his work, can you move from it? Until the Lord is pleased to move you. Bless his dear name, not that he takes it. That which he has given, any word, any promise that he has given you, he'll not take it again. That is yours. And as sure as he has given it, so sure shall it be tried. We were looking recently at that case of Joseph, as he revealed himself unto his brethren, and as he sent them back into Canaan, even to bring up their father, their wives and their little ones, we read this, and he gave them provision for the way. Oh, what a mercy! If we can realize, as we journey on, that our heavenly Joseph has given unto us some provision for the way. Yes, child of God, he will give unto you that which is needful, that which shall be used. As we noted then in Joseph, at a time he had traveled that way, he knew the needs of his brethren. Our heavenly Joseph knows the path, and knows that which shall be needful even for us. And so, he has provided even for us. While not to speak of things which we looked at on the past Sabbath, not to despise them, friends, but you see, we want the Word of God as His ancient people wanted the manna. They wanted it daily. It was the same manna. But they needed to gather it afresh. That manna was there, friend, and it was with them until they reached the borders of the land. And that which we seek of the Lord, how do we not seek it, even until we shall come to the borders of the land? And so we would not dwell with vain repetitions. But there is such a thing, friend, and let us not despise it as a right repetition. In the days of the apostles, there were those who desired to hear the same things the next Sabbath. Why? Because these were the things which they longed for, which they sought after. These were those savory things, such as their soul loved, and they didn't weary with them. Do you weary with the Word of God? Oh, but we've heard that before. Have you? Do you weary, friend, in your petitions at the throne of grace? Ah, friend, have you not pleaded time and time again those same things? Lord, help me. How often has that been your petition? Lord, I am afraid. Undertake for me. How often have you breathed that out? How often have you groaned? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And we looked at this, you friends, even as the chapter sets it before us. And oh, with that humble desire to be found numbered with them. The chapter speaks of them as being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, yea, and a people that should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but which now have obtained mercy, which were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop, even of your soul. Friends, are you numbered amongst this company? Can you trace back a little in your pathway? And even to say that you are amongst this people, chosen in Him ere time began, loved with an everlasting love. God's Word sets them before us as a remnant, even according to the election of grace. this time, for this is my desire. Numbered with them may I be, now and in eternity. Is it your desire? Friend, if that is the desire of your heart, it's a God-given desire. It isn't the desire of our nature to be found numbered among the despised people of God. And so, friend, if it is a God-given desire, shall it not be fulfilled? He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. Well, friends, these then are the youths that are found in our case. Unto you he is precious. That's not how the word reads. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, let us not leave it out. Let us not take from God's word that which is found there. Neither, friend, let us add to it that which is not found there. Oh, how solemn the portion of Son. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Oh, to be found, friend, as a true believer. You'll note in the next part of the text of the opposite character of the disobedient. You see, the believer walks obediently. He must do. And the opposite to this is the disobedient. And friends, amongst these two characters, you and I have found one or the other. And it is not for us or for any man to pass judgment. One is our judge, even God. Does the thought of this ever make you tremble? That we are to be judged of God. I say, does it make you tremble, even as you would realize what accountable creatures we are? Our friends, how often has entered our thoughts and our minds as we've entered his earthly course, for that the services to which we attend, we are accountable, whether we speak or whether we hear. Yes, dear friend, even for this night service, we are accountable. How stands the case, my soul with thee? Well then, to be found numbered amongst these believers, these who walk obediently. And such are numbered amongst his friends. Amen. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And again we read in the Proverbs, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. True, friend, and there's much moral instruction there. Ah, but look at our best friend. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Ah, as our heavenly friend, what has he shown to you? Look at that which he has passed through, that which he has endured. Indeed, showing himself friendly. Use the term reverently, friend. And he has said, ye are my friend. If ye do whatsoever I command you. Ah, is it an exercise with you as to what his command even to you is? As to that thing which he will have you do? Ah, friend, we would not belittle those ordinances of his house, that which he has left on record in his word. But friends, let us not limit God's command to that. What is that thing which he has spoken unto you? How are you found walking? Ah, and perhaps at this present time, the way is not clear to you as to what you are to do. Well, where art thou then found? In the watchtower. Looking at this, watching for that. Friend, there's many an instruction gathered there, and a favorite place it is. Although oftentimes, tis a place that is not comfortable to the flesh. Oh, to be found there. I am listening, Lord, for thee. Master, speak. Oh, speak to me. Are you found there? But he would come and speak a word, that he would come and reveal his will. Are you longing then to know his command? Well, mark it, friend, as he gives it, then be ready to obey. And you may find it a way. But the flesh will oppose. Ah, but not this way, Lord. Oh, but not this matter, Lord. Anything but this. Perhaps some of you have known a little of that, even thus far in the pilgrimage. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But now, as the Lord may help just for a few moments to come to the latter part of the text, he is precious. We have spoken a little of things which have gone before, but oh, to prove in this, it's like that water at the marriage feast in Cana of Galilee, that the best is at the last. That he is precious. Then is he precious to you? And many are friends we feel that our ability fails us to speak of those many ways in which he is precious unto his dear people. But as he may help us, we would look at but one or two of them. And oh, that we may be favored, each one of us, in private meditations, even to dwell upon him, is his name precious unto you? The poet says, yes, it comes back to that which we have just said concerning the believers. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Friend, is it a sweet name for you? Is there any other name to be compared unto it? Look at it, even as the angel came to Mary and said, and his name shall be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Oh, what a name. Now, what does that name mean to you? What does that name mean to me? Can we indeed say of it, it is precious? Is that name to you as ointment poured forth? Ah, how sad it is, our brethren, how solemn it is in this our day to hear this name so lightly painted and so lightly spoken. Oh, and as we hear it, as we have to do with the lawful things of time and sense, how it makes us shudder. As his name is taken in vain. Oh, may we ever be kept, each one of us, from thus taking his name in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Ah, but friend, has there been a season with you when it has been your delight even to plead this name? The name of Jesus. Savior means, and such he is indeed. Do you know him as your Savior? Friend, have you traced out a little in his word? And have you been enabled with the eye of faith even to trace him in his walk here below? In all of those things which he passed through. Those things which he endured. Those things which he suffered. Even that you might be brought when time shall be no more, where he dwells forever. Ah, friend, if we are given a little insight here, how precious will this name be. Well, did one say, little realizing what he said, what I have written, I have written. His name, even there, in that solemn sea, that solemn faith, Jesus, a of Nazareth, King of the Jews. He is precious unto you. Yes, this chosen generation, these who are called to see things as they were never seen before, even as we might instant it from God's word with Saul of Tarsus, as the Lord dealt with him in such a marked way, ah, what that name then meant to him. Oh, that his name might indeed then be made precious unto us. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Oh, I like that is. Not that he was. Yes, friend, he ever was. But he is. And ever will. He is precious. Is he precious unto you as your intercessor? Your risen Lord, ascended now to heaven, set down at the right hand of the Father, pleading your I say, is he precious then to you as your intercessor? Your mediator? And his breath, his desire, his petition shall be answered. Yes, they shall. You look at the time, friend, and all times come short. You look at the time set before us in God's word in Moses. How oft he pleaded on behalf of the children of Israel. And look how he came, friend. Ah, but if thou shouldst do this, Lord, what will become of thy great name? This is that which he was zealous for, the honor and glory of his great name. Well, friends, that is but a time. But we have one. Our great high priest, who forever intercede even for that. Our this is set before you, as God causes your eyes to be open and to see this, and gives you to understand it, seals it home upon your heart with his Spirit, does it make him precious unto you? Oh, to say it then with the apostle, we have a great high priest, one who knows all about him, one who knows of those little things, if I might use that word, that are in the past, and those great things, those burdens, those cares, those sorrows, those anxieties that are with you. Child of God, there is not one thing which you are called to bear that he is a stranger to. kind and holy God. And friends, it behoves us oftentimes to be found walking this pathway of grace. Young, hearken to his own word. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You say you never faint in the way? Do you say that you're always found engaged in this exercise? Ah, friends, how sure we are. Oh, how oft with us, what weariness attends our steps in this pathway. Ah, friend, that we might be stirred up to wait at all times on the Lord. That our eyes might be to him, that we might be found watching for him more than they that watch for the morning. Is your eye upon him? The psalmist speaks on one occasion, but as the eyes of a master, of the eyes of a maiden are towards her mistress, and the eyes of a servant toward his master, so are our eyes toward thee, Amen. One does not profess a great knowledge of Eastern customs, but we are told that out there commands were oftentimes given by signs more than words. And so that the maiden's eyes were to be upon the hand of her mistress if she should move them. And the eyes of the servant were to be even to the hand of his master. If he wasn't watching, friend, he might miss the command. Ah, but how true, if we are not found watching, not found diligent, attentive in these things, might we not miss it? Oh, then that we might be found watchful, observing all things in the pathway. We have been reminded, whoso is watching and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Oh, to be found wise in these things. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. And friend, is he precious unto you in his word? I say, is his word precious to you? Yes, there may be, as you journey along, many things that you call into question, and we're not always right in doing that. But as indeed we are enabled to look back and to remember the way which the Lord our God has brought us. Does it come sweetly to your mind how precious his word has been to you? Our friend, it was a precious word to this poor sinner. And we'll pass it on. It may be an encouragement to you. But in the midst of a heavy cloud, and amidst much darkness in the pathway, and even at this present season, how the cloud Join that glad song, and there it is.